This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
The Otho Show on Joy 94.9.
Interviews, current affairs, and events from across Victoria.
Also is
your community hub.
Hello and welcome to the first Also Show. I'm Kath Duncan.
And I'm Crusader Hillis.
And together we're going to be presenting the Also Show today. Also your...
Your radio show, your show about people, events and current affairs.
First up today, well, today we're going to be talking about how do we get the straight world interested in queer rights, particularly in the political sphere. We're also going to be talking to Maud Davey.
Maud Davey, she's a very drop-dead performer who's been around for a long time now and is coming up in Maura Finucane and Jackie Smith's show Carnival of Mysteries at Melbourne Festival this week.
And because I have a heart that's deeply rooted in the country, whether it's rural Victoria or New South Wales and around the country, just today we're going to be talking to someone who was at the first Mardi Gras March in 1978 and who's been working in health in rural Victoria for the past 30 years or so, so we're going to do a bit of a catch-up around the state.
That's right, Kath. Why don't we hear a little bit about you, though, first? Because I think it's important that we know who the new host of the Also Show is. Kath Duncan is an artist, writer and broadcaster, and she's relatively new to Melbourne, having moved here earlier this year.
Yes, but I've been a fan for about 30 years.
That is true. But she's been a troublemaker all her life, and most of her noise about the rights and talents of disabled people and their rights to have a bit of fun and sex in their life as well.
Hell yeah.
Yeah. She was born a congenital double amputee.
And transverse, actually. Because when people think double, they think the same limbs.
Oh, I see.
And so I always have to say transverse because it makes me sound like something out of, you know, Dr. Spock or Alien or whatever. But what it means is it's across my body. It's kind of a diagonal natural amputation.
Yes, it's nicely
gorgeous,
balanced.
Really, yeah.
And she describes herself as a crip freak goddess.
Yes, I do. And look at me. It's true, isn't it, guys? Just nod. Yes. Everyone here agrees with this cast of thousands here.
And in the studio today, we have Martin Foley, MP, and he's a local member for Albert Park. He's also the chair of the Attorney General's Ministerial Advisory Committee on GLBTI justice issues.
And perhaps we could open by asking, how did you get involved, you know, in queer issues? Was it like a personal connection or...?
Well, thanks, guys. As uncomplicated as the Attorney General in this particular committee, ringing me up and saying, have I got a job for you? but I think that's set against the framework of if you accept the notion that human rights count for something, then disproportionately human rights count for people who are excluded for all sorts of reasons from the mainstream, whether that's disability, whether that's sexuality, gender identity, all the way through to homelessness, racism, you name it. There are so many issues that exclude people for no reason whatsoever that makes sense from full participation in society. So if you accept the notion that a human rights framework counts for something, then those people who are excluded on the basis of any number of grounds, one of which is sexuality and gender identity, makes you have to, if you're trying to be consistent, to deal with those issues. So I've got, through my own trade union background and areas like that, a bit of a history of activism and organising, and, you know, for my many sins, I'm now the member for Albert Park. So in that context, the Attorney General asked me to take on this role, which I was more than pleased to, because it just fits that frame that we need some social justice for a whole range of groups, and Victoria's leading the way in the Human Rights Charter. So tying those issues together struck me as a natural kind of way to go.
And in on that sort of the hurly-burly of the floor of the state parliament, how do those sort of social justice issues, and particularly, you know, being a queer-positive or queer-friendly person, how does that go down?
Increasingly, GLBTI and queer issues are pretty mainstream, I find, increasingly so. Yeah, there's a few strange positions that come up from time.
I know a few
some wacky, some wacky positions. Yeah, it was a few years ago now, but there was a really wacky contribution from the member for Box Hill equating, you know, homosexuality to an illness, and it's like smoking, and it needs to be driven out. You know, But yeah, it was totally wacky. But for that versus, it's pretty mainstream now, the notion that someone's sexuality, someone's gender identity shouldn't exclude them from their participation. The truth is it continues to. So, and you know, we need all sorts of efforts to make sure that those areas where people are continue to be discriminated against on the basis of their gender identity or sexuality are dealt with. And sadly, we've still got too many areas in which that needs to happen.
And from a personal point of view, was there a point in your life where you first started coming into contact with GLBTI people?
I suppose there was. When you look back at it, I come from what was then the outer edges of the suburbs.
I noticed you went to Catholic schools, so you must have had Catholic, some contact.
Absolutely, except I had nuns rather than Christian brothers. So the Mercy nuns were a strange bunch. So I would think that probably like any young person, when their sexuality and their character is developing, it was in the teenage years. They were clearly, now looking back on it, gay and lesbian friends of mine in your community, in your cricket team, down at the yachting club at Mornington, the whole thing. You know? But in retrospect, these were people that clearly were wrestling with their sexuality, suppressing it all too often in those times. And in years gone by, since, I've run into lots of people who have, you know, come to terms with that, feel supportive of that. And, you know, these are people you grow up with. These are, in my case, some cousins, right? These are people that we all are part of. And if you accept the notion that their rights are immutable as anybody else's, then you have to deal with the institutional issues that prevent them from having their rights recognised and giving them the opportunity to exercise them in a way that doesn't cause them any expectation that they have to suppress who they are.
You're on Joy 94.9. This is the Also Show with Kath Duncan and Crusader Hillis, and we're talking to State MP Martin Foley.
So, Martin, the electorate that you're in, Albert Park, I mean, it's seen as being quite, a fairly gentrified suburb in lots and lots of ways. Yet there is a lot of pockets of, lacking, and there's a low socioeconomic housing areas and things like that. One of the things that I've noticed about you is that you're quite outspoken about the rights of marginalised people, particularly in your own electorate. Has that been an issue for the white bread Albert Parkingans?
Look, it has been. And, you know, Crusader, you know from your former life down at Gasworks that it is a diverse community. You've got to more or less be an AFL footballer now to afford to move in. But having said that, we've got 2,500 units of public and social housing with about 3,000 people in there. And these are people who struggle every day. There's any number of institutions that deal with homelessness, substance abuse, drug and alcohol issues, from Hanover, Father Bob's Mission, Sacred Heart Mission, the Salvos. People who are down on their luck for any number of reasons are attracted to the institutional support that they can get in our community. And I've found, to be frank, that there's increasing pushback in areas of trying to develop social housing projects that accommodate people. But if you, again, cast it in the right frame, you can generally cut through most, not all, but most objections to that. And it's very much about people have a right to support, people have a right to housing, people have a right to access social justice. So if you cast it like that, I've found it much more positive.
There's a state election coming up really soon. It's galloping up behind us. What sort of policies or what sort of strategies have you got for, you know, GLBTIQ folk in the lead up?
I know that there will be a lot said between now and the election in that area. And, you know, I would be, for instance, quite keen for the issues around same-sex adoption to be dealt with in an appropriate way. That's one that's screaming for attention, and I'm confident there will be some space there.
That's been quite controversial.
And staggers me why it's been quite controversial. This was definitively dealt with by the Victorian Law Reform Commission 3 years ago in its landmark report, which led to the ART legislation, and which is the unfinished business from that report. Bearing in mind that if you accept, as the Law Reform Commission did, the principle that you must frame issues around what's in the best interests of the child, it's a no-brainer. if you take the fact that now the majority of the Australian population, following legislative change in New South Wales and some legislation making its way through the Tasmanian Parliament, again, Victoria's actually now out of step with the majority of the Australian population. And if you even didn't go the next step, you look at practical solutions that the courts and applicants, same-sex couple applicants, are making to the courts for adoption. People are getting around it. I'm sure the courts wouldn't put it that way. Each case has to be determined on its merits. But people aren't silly. People are making adaptations to get around what is a nonsense of a law currently. And then add to that, we've got the department concerned targeting same-sex couples as people who want to look after kids at risk because they're good at it. Yes. And why? Because they are committed, like lots of other people, to one another. And that if you take the principle that what is in the best interest of the child as the driving point, then this current ridiculous hangover law can't stand. And I'd be confident that there would be some activity in that space.
And running concurrently to the adoption campaign that's been spearheaded at the moment by the Rainbow Families Council is laws around surrogacy and the rights to be declared parents of children Yes. that are born through surrogacy. Is that something, an issue that you think will also needs to be dealt with?
It does. It's a bit more complicated because of the births, deaths and marriage and a whole range of issues around that space. But again, it's as technology and social approaches to what is a family, what is a caring relationship change, our laws and our institutions need to be a lot more flexible in recognising the reality of these families that exist now and these children that exist now.
Can I ask one final question? How do we enlist straight people in our fights, in our causes, in not just our fights, in all of the celebration of us as well?
I think through the very programs that leadership groups like ALSO and the many groups that sit underneath your umbrella do right now. Community engagement, community leadership, issues like working with, to be blunt, the coppers through the GLOWS program and the anti-violence project, the work that the health service does, the work that, you know, the Pride March does. All of these groups show GLBTIQ people in the most positive frame possible. And guess what? You know, they love one another like the straight community. They love one another like the hetero community. They have disagreements like everybody because we are actually all human beings with the same set of rights. Pushing that agenda, I think, is so mainstream now that every time you run into the homophobic nonsense that is sadly still out there, that's the battering ram that continues to knock over those arguments.
Fantastic. Thanks very much for talking to us today, Martin
My
Foley.
Pleasure. Good luck with the program.
Welcome back. You're listening to The ALSO Show with Kath Duncan and Crusader Hillis. Coming up, we're going to be talking about rural life, but right now we're in the out there section of The ALSO Show with the fabulous guest, Maud Davey. Welcome, Maud.
Thank you.
Hello.
Hi.
Now, Maud and her twin sister Annie Davey are legendary in Melbourne as theatre and circus people and definitely as lesbian icons, although neither, I think, currently identify as such.
Is that the case?
Well,
you're a has-been.
A has-been. I have to say today's the first time I've ever heard that word. I don't know why.
I think it's an American term.
Is it?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Kind of sexy and glamorous, though, isn't it? Something.
Has-been. No, doesn't sound sexy or glamorous.
Well, you are.
Thank you.
Anyway.
But look, back in the early 90s, Maud took out the National Miss Wicked competition, the most successful lesbian sex contest we've ever had in Australia, for her rendition of Chris Isaak's Wicked, where she pulled a strawberry from her vagina and ensured her place in Australia's lesbian history forever.
How did you get it in and out of there without crushing it? Must have been a rather firm strawberry.
Maybe I've just got a large vagina.
Ah, that helps, doesn't it?
It does.
It does.
Now, Maud has
but
performed...
its muscularity is not to be sneezed at.
Oh, I like the sound of that.
Well, we're going to get more into that shortly, I'm sure.
Really?
Maud performs both sides of the theatre curtain. She's been the artistic director of South Australia's Vital Statistics Women's Theatre and more recently Melbourne's Worker Theatre, and for many years was one of the founders and key members of the cult a cappella group Crying in Public Places. She's had roles on Summer Heights High, and she's currently about to appear in Finny Kane and Smith's Carnival of Mysteries at Melbourne Festival.
Mm, sounds fabulous.
It is fabulous. Mm. It's terrifyingly enormous, but fabulous.
Yes, 30 performers, isn't it?
Yes, it's, look, it is bigger than anything I can actually encompass in my brain. So I can only imagine the sleepless nights that Moira and Jackie are having.
Give us a bit of a taste. What's going to be happening?
Well, I'll tell you what, I'm the anatomically correct librarian, which must be where the muscular vagina comment came from. I'm getting into the kind of...
I can see that.
Yeah. And so basically it's a carnival. There's all these different performance sites, and as a punter you wander around it and you are hustled in to one or other of them, and you can either be with an audience of 5 or 10 or 20 or 40 or the whole carnival. And the brilliant thing about this carnival is there is the kind of light and fluffy looking at gorgeous people doing really silly dancing and, you know, great skills. Sasina Wagayu's there. She's the Ethiopian circus performer from Circus Oz. She's doing her balls act. She's doing, you know, it's phenomenally kind of talented. But there's also this really kind of dark, serious stuff underneath. There's a lot of kind of text in it, which you don't usually get in that kind of thing. You know, it's all, you know, bottoms and jiggles and giggles and curls. But this actually has some kind of meat and depth in it as well. Do you know Brian Lucas from Queensland?
Yes, very well.
He's astonishing. And he does this fantastic Frankenstein piece, which is, when he did it for us the other day, we all squealed and screamed. You know, it's terrifying in the most glorious way. It's brilliant.
And Brian's going to be joining you as part of Salon de Danse at Adelaide's Feast.
He
in
is.
November, isn't he?
He is.
With Vinnie Kane and Smith.
Yeah.
And while you're over there, you're going to be working with No Strings Attached and Emma J. Hawkins?
That's right. So we set this project up back in June, I think. I went over to Adelaide and started working with two women from No Strings Attached, which is a theatre of disability, Rachel High, and who's very well known in Adelaide. Yep. She's a brilliant performer.
And the rest of Australia too, to a large extent.
Yeah. And Emma J. Hawkins, who you will remember
we
from Circus Oz.
We all know Emma very well.
She's brilliant. So we're doing a couple of duets and solos for those two, which will be incorporated into Salon de Danse. Salon de Danse is fantastic because what it is, it's kind of like your outreach program, you know. It's where you find new people and incorporate them into the team.
Right.
And it's so fun and so silly and so intimate, because we in Melbourne we do it at La Mama. We've only done it in Melbourne so far. We do it at La Mama. So there's 40 people, 50 for Finya Kane and Smith, because they always manage to, procure more chairs.
Swell the numbers,
exactly,
yep.
Yeah. And it's just such a fun show to perform and such a fun show for the audience. It's always different. There's always new pieces, which is great. It gives us an opportunity to make new stuff. And it gives us an opportunity to meet new people and incorporate them into the team. So that's the really exciting thing about Salon de Danse in Adelaide, that we get to, you know, work with Emma J, who I reckon will probably...
Oh, she's tops.
She's fantastic. She's so talented.
A lot of artist performers complain that, you know, life is unsurvivable. What's your secret, or what sort of tip would you pass on to people who want to, you know, get constant work and move in this area in a really, you know, creative, productive fashion?
What's my tip? Get a lot of sleep and be very nice to people. There you go.
That's not bad.
I, having worked in the arts for a long time, I think those are very good tips. But it's very hard getting a lot of sleep.
It is, and not drinking too much.
That's right. Oh, well, that's impossible. But, going back to Carnival of Mysteries, it's opening this Friday and it runs right to the 30th of October.
It does.
How are people going to find out about it and get a ticket?
Melbourne Festival, through the Melbourne Festival website. It's part of the Melbourne Festival, which is fantastic that, you know, Finya Kane and Smith are being recognised at that prestigious level. And so, Melbourne Festival website, www.melbournefestival.com.au. And I imagine there's a ticketing agency doing it as well. It's at 45 downstairs, which is where the Burlesque Hour has been regularly. It's, you know, a regular venue for Finya Kane Smith. It's a fantastic venue. It's beautiful. It's kind of seedy. It's gorgeous.
It fits perfectly with the Finya Kane Smith vision, doesn't it?
It does.
You're with the Also Show with Kath Duncan and Crusader Hillis, and we're talking to Maude Davey on Joy 94.9. You're with Joy 94.9 FM. Get it right, Kath. Kath Duncan and Crusader Hillis with the Also Show. And we'd like to welcome into the studio Alex from Also with our Out There.
Thank you. So what we've got going on out there this week, this coming Saturday, we have the Pride March Bake Off.
Woohoo!
Yeah, at DT's at 1 o'clock.
Can you eat and not bake? I'll ask that later.
If you buy the cakes at auction.
Excellent.
Yeah. Me and Brian are sharpening our spoons for that one.
Oh,
today.
Yeah.
The Laird celebrating their Pearl anniversary on Sunday the 24th of October. So they're going to be opening up for the whole queer community in a one-off all-in tea dance. Within also Kinky, we have event registrations for Leather Pride filling up. So if you want to get involved in that, call Nick at the Also office or Mark at Southern Star. At the Also Fabulous Op Shop, we have a signed and framed Collingwood jumper.
Oh.
Yes. I don't know if it's one of the jumpers that was potentially involved in that sex scandal, but...
They'll add to it, probably.
Yeah.
Well, we'll just move on now.
Yeah, cool. They've got a massive $5 book sale that's only on for a short time longer, so get down there for that. In Also Advocate, Also and Gamblers Help launching a new GLBTI Gamblers Hotline. And we've launched a new brochure specifically designed for gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgender and intersex communities. The All Sorts brochure encourages GLBTI people, their families and friends to access Gamblers Help services if gambling causes them harm. And for information on that, you can just go to Gamblers Helpline, Google that, or it's 1-800-858-858. And there's also interpreters for deaf, hearing and speech impaired. Also, directory sales, general sales are now open, so please get involved in the phone book. It's the number one advertising portal, so get into that statewide. For Also Gender, Abode has just had its Sexy T-Bird Night, which is their monthly M2F trans event, and that's proved very popular. So they'll be launching their monthly F2M night very soon, so stay tuned for that.
Wow.
And they've also got something coming up on the 23rd of October that's still under embargo, but stay tuned for that as well. The Gay Dads Alliance Forum, in the wake of the Gay Dads National Conference, which was presented by Drummond Street Services and supported by Also, their Melbourne branch, which is called The Meeting Place, will be holding a forum on Tuesday the 12th of October to discuss surrogacy in Victoria. And you can RSVP for that by emailing James or wayne@comingout.com.au. Family Access Network as well will be having their AGM on the 13th of October. Great artworks will be displayed, as well as a photographic exhibition and diversity group.
And we know that FAN, Family Access Network, are the two people that run the two houses for homeless queer youth.
For the All Sorts
Home. The Also Foundation Fund.
In Also Seniors, Vintage Men are off to Dalesford this weekend, and if you're interested in going with them, then you'll need to contact Also very quickly and we can put you in touch with their coordinator. Or you can wait till next Tuesday when at 7:30 p.m. they have their movie night at the Betty Day Centre. This month's film is the 1953 classic starring Ethel Merman called Call Me Madam.
Oh, excellent.
Call Me Madam.
Yes.
Also, MGLC are having a birthday as well. So in something for the family, Melbourne Gay and Lesbian Chorus is celebrating their 20-year anniversary in the concert We Are Family on Saturday, October 16th at both 2 p.m. and 8 p.m. And to check that out, you go to www.darabinartcentre.com.au. Then something for artists... An exhibition exploring road trauma, the TAC, is calling on artists who have experienced road trauma to enter their work in a client art exhibition to be held later this year. For further information, please call Sarah on 0429 294 262 or
wow,
call
that's
also.
That's going to be powerful, a powerful exhibition.
Yeah. Also events. The Melbourne Festival is here, as you were talking
more
before.
Yeah.
And in Seven Songs to Leave Behind, the Melbourne Festivals asked some of the world's finest singers to reflect on the theme of spirituality and mortality with the question, which seven songs would you leave behind? And it features an incredible lineup of amazing voices. So listen to this. It's Sinead O'Connor, John Cale, Michelle DeGeo Cello, Ricky Lee Jones, Gurumul Yurunapingu, The Black Armband, and more. It's the International Music Collaboration of the Year at the Sydney Maya Music Bowl on Saturday the 23rd of October. And you can check that out at www.melbournefestival.com.au. But on that, the Also Foundation, thanks to the Melbourne Festival, is giving away a double pass, so email also at also.org.au to get it quick. Also, Access, Quip, also is a new community group for queer disability community and their friends, had its first meeting last week with over 10 people attending.
Wow, great.
And issues that group will be tackling are access to queer venues, how to achieve the right to sexuality, sexual exploration and full sexual expression. A second meeting is planned for the middle of October. You can be part of the fun. Just email also at also.org.au. And they're having an event during midsummer, which is prose, poetry, stories, comedy and performance. And to be involved in that, email contact us at hares-hyenas.com.au. In also sports, we've got the Melbourne Spikers back from Cologne. And congratulations to both teams, the Gumnuts and the Spikers, for their brilliant play. We look forward to following them in Wellington. And Les Rock is celebrating its third birthday. And you can get involved with them at lesrock.wordpress.com. And the Youth Sexy Playoffs of the Queer Youth Groups Trivia Afternoon was at Fitzroy Town Hall last week, and we just also just supported one of those groups with $1,000 to spend on new sexual health strategies.
Great.
Vic Health has launched a new website focused exclusively on relationships called Love, the Good, Bad and the Ugly, and website being designed for young Victorians of secondary school age to educate and promote healthy and respectful relationships. And you can look it up at lovegoodbadugly.com. And don't forget that you can get involved in almost any of these things just by emailing also at also.org.au.
Fantastic. Thank you very much, Alex.
That's
I'm boggled.
Big list. That's great.
There's so awesome. Much on.
Thanks, guys.
And we've got Stephanie Tipping on the line at the moment, and she's going to be talking about Rooftop, the social group that we run for young lesbian and queer women here on once a month on the Thursday night upstairs and also. And she's also going to be talking about a fun run that she's taking part in at the moment to raise some money to publish a book about gender experience. Are you there, Steph?
Yes, hello, Crusader. How are you?
Hey, good morning, Steph. It's Kath here.
Hi, Kath. How are you?
Good, thank you.
So what's happening on Thursday evenings at also?
The Rooftop group has been operating for the last few months through also for young women within their 20s. Been meeting up and doing a whole range of activities together. And it seems to have been going really positively of late.
And we're very, very keen to get any listeners out there who fit that age group to just get in touch with also. You can either give us a ring at the office, we're in the phone book, or you can email also at also.org.au. That'd be terrific. But the other thing that you're doing this weekend, Steph, is you're getting your runners on.
Yes.
How far are you running?
21.1
k. Oh, goodness. And you're asking people to sponsor your run so that you can afford to publish a book.
I'm doing the half marathon in order to raise money for the Gender Project, which is publishing a book containing a collection of personal stories exploring the interplay between gender and sexuality.
Fantastic.
You're planning to have written, published and printed and launched at midsummer early next year.
Could you perhaps just give us a little bit of a taste about what your contribution to that is, what it's about?
What my personal contribution is?
Mm-hmm.
Well, my story is about exploring my experience of living within the three boundaries of male and female and what that experience of being in between.
Mm-hmm.
So my story talks about that grey bit of living in a binary world,
yep.
Where it is very binary and these black and white notions of how you are to present your gender, but presenting it in a very blurred way and the experience of that. So, that's sort of what my story talks about.
Wow, sounds like a great collection.
How can we support you in this?
By either sponsoring the project through the Everyday Heroes account, where I'm running the half marathon, so sponsoring me to run the half marathon.
And what's the address for the Everyday Hero account?
Yeah, it's www.everydayhero.com.au/Stephanie_tipping.
Stephanie_tipping. And look, we can just ring the also office and we'll put you straight onto that website, don't you worry.
Yeah, for sure. I can give it to you guys.
And best wishes for the run.
Thank you. It's going to be quite a warm day, so it will be good. Hopefully, I'm sure I'll make it. I've done lots of training. I'll be fine.
Just keep your fluids up.
Yes, lots of drinking, lots of water.
That's right. Well, thank you so much for joining us today, Steph, and thanks so much also for being involved in Rooftop. It's an incredibly important thing that we actually give young women, however they identify as women, a space to be able to come and meet other like-minded people.
Yeah, it is. It's a great group.
Fantastic. See ya.
Fantastic. Thank you.
11:45, Joy 94.9. You're with The Also Show with Kath Duncan and Crusader Hillis. And now my favourite bit, rural Victoria.
Yes, Kath's a bit of a rural junkie.
I am.
We have the lovely Helen on the phone at the moment. Good morning, Helen.
Good morning, Crusader.
Now, Helen, and me too. Don't forget me. Thank you.
And Kath.
And Kath. Helen's been living in rural towns and rural cities for the last few decades and has been with her partner for the last 21 of those years.
Wow, well done.
Exactly. But Helen was also one of the original 78ers, a group of brave people who celebrated Stonewall in 1978 by protesting in the streets, and that which led to mass arrests and the birth of the Sydney Gay Mardi Gras. Now, I met Helen in the country a few weeks ago, and she told me some fairly terrible stories about what some of the challenges are to living in the country. And one of those things was about the lack of mental health services for young GLBTI teens, whatever you want to call them. I think you like the word camp, don't you, Helen?
That's correct, Chris. Yes.
So, you know, so young gay and camp teens, tell us what's happening out there in the rural areas in terms of mental health.
Well, in the terms of mental health, as you're aware, since 1980, of course, we went from the large, very, very large institutions right down to these much smaller institutions where mental health services are now in general hospitals or in the back wards of general hospitals. And, of course, in country areas, often the beds are very much decreased. And what happens with our youth is that if any of them have any need for hospitalisation, 99% of the time they have to be sent to Melbourne for any long-term sort of treatment, because we don't have beds available here in rural areas, particularly in the northeast, for adolescents.
And there's no mental health workers much out there either, are there?
There's mental health workers here. However, unfortunately, again, there's not enough to go around a huge area in which they have to serve.
What I found living in northern New South Wales was that you could ask for help with, you know, psych issues, but basically you had to be almost suicidal or homicidal to actually get it. There didn't seem to be those sort of preventative steps in place. Is that what you're finding?
Yes, that's correct, Cass, yes. That's very much so. And even if you are suicidal, it's not necessarily so that somebody will rock up on your door in a quickish amount of time. In fact, I'll give you an antidote of what's happened here a few years ago. Person A was suicidal, went to the pub, got drunk, went out on the street and was actually arrested and then taken to another police station 45 k's away and consequently charged. And in fact, what should have happened was that person should have, instead of being arrested, they should have been provided with mental health services, because they clearly stated that they were suicidal.
Goodness me. Is it just a matter of funding, or is it also sort of about attitude? Because what I felt from the country was there was also a bigger shame factor around psych issues than there might have been in the city.
Well, from my experience, I've lived in rural areas. I grew up in the Hunter Valley with a population of about 5, actually. That's where I started my life.
Wow.
So I've lived all over the country. I've lived in far north Queensland, worked in the outback, lived in very sort of remote areas throughout my career. And what I found is that as long as you don't mention the word camp, gay, lesbian, LGBT or any of those sorts of things, you know, you're fine. However, if for any reason people start to question, they start to ask the 40 questions, as I always put it, and you give them answers. If they don't like the answers, then of course what happens is the shame factor then comes back into it. Mm. And often that's followed by physical or mental or emotional abuse or lack of work or not being able to get work.
And you also told us quite a lot of harrowing stories about some of the homophobia and violence that you and your partner have faced in a small country town. Do you think, is that likely to change, and how can we change that, and what do we do?
I believe, Chris, that it's the thing that's most paramount is education. And that education is ongoing, it's a daily basis, and it's not good enough to say. I often hear from youth or young people say, "Oh, I'm okay. Yeah, you know, it's I can get a job, or nobody knows, or which is the very same issues that the nobody knows part, which happened 30, 40, 50 years ago. So that's a very old story. So, but the youth often believe that that's a new story, and in fact, it's a very old story. Mm. And in fact, people do know.
They certainly do pick it up, don't they?
Yes. Because, you know, quite often you end up talking about, instead of saying, for instance, my partner by their feminine name in my case, I'll simply say my partner. So that, for me, is a denial of my relationship. But at times, that's been necessary to do that, simply because of self-preservation.
Wow, that's pretty sad after being together for more than 20 years.
21 years, yes.
Now, being a pioneer as you are, having marched in 1978, I've seen some of that footage from Digby Duncan's documentary at the time she was shooting that night, and it just went mad, didn't it? It was quite an affray there with the police attacking the marchers and so forth. How did you negotiate that night? Did you get arrested?
In retrospect, looking back, of course, you know, as you get older, your perspective changes. Through my own experience, I think that that's what's happened for me. And I possibly nowadays don't see it as bad as what it was, the reality of it back then. Hmm. However, in hindsight, looking back, one of the things that I still remember was total fear.
Yes.
The fear of being locked up, the fear of being bashed, the fear of reprisal from the people that I worked with. They were my top fears at the time.
Wow. We're going to have to talk about that march again sometime, Crusader. It's just fascinating.
I know. We definitely need to talk to Helen again too. Helen has got so many stories, but she's also got this huge desire to see things change. And that's something that also really wants to work with Helen on seeing how we can make a difference in rural Victoria. Thank you, Helen, for the short time we gave you today. And we will be speaking to you again shortly.
Thank you, Crusader, and thank you, Kath.
Welcome back. You're with The Also Show with Kath Duncan and Crusader Hillis. And on the line we have Damien Stevens, who's the coordinator of Golden Valley Pride in Shepparton.
Good morning,
Damien.
Good morning.
You've got Kath over here as well.
Hey, Damien. Hey, what's happening?
What's happening? Well, we're excited this week to have Daniel Whithouse up here, still travelling around Australia with his Beyond That So Gay tour. He's running a few events in Shepparton this week, so it's great to have him up here. Alongside that, we've got plenty of our own weekly social events, as we do in Shepparton. We've got a movie fundraiser night for the Cancer Council on this Wednesday night, and board games, steak nights, all sorts of things happening. Pink show at the end of the month too.
Oh, amazing.
And we've got Daniel Whithouse, I think, as a guest next Tuesday, and he's going to be talking about his anti-homophobia tour across Australia. It's been a bit of a roadshow, hasn't it?
Oh, it has, it has. He's been right around Australia. I'm sure everyone's heard about it on Joy. Listening to some of the experiences he had to share with our own PFLAG group here last night, it's been an amazing journey.
And how is it going out there in the country in terms of connecting with all of the other groups across Victoria? Is that starting to happen more?
Oh, it sure is, Crusader. Up in the Albury-Wodonga region, you know, they have their fortnightly drinks nights, and over in Bendigo, they've got their monthly fab night or gay dance party, if you like, on the last Friday night of every month. It is a considerable distance from Shepparton to Bendigo and then back across to Albury-Wodonga, you know, a good hour and a half to 2 hours sometimes, but we do every so often make the effort and take the trips over there to support our sisters and brothers in regional areas as well. It's important.
Yep. Thanks very much, Damien, and we'll be checking with you again next week.
See you then.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And in fact, we're going to be back again next week. Thanks very much for listening to this, the very first Also Show. We're very excited. I'm Kath Duncan, and I'm with Crusader Hillis and our fabulous guy here,
the Gazman.
Panelist will do.
See you again next week. Thank you.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.